want to, for the community to know that we are present and that we want to be able to bless the community. So if you missed this time, don't worry. There's more opportunities for you to be involved as well. Before we begin, let us open up in a word of prayer. Jesus, we give thanks to you for you are good. You are worthy, God, of everything. You're worthy, Lord, of our praise. You're worthy, Lord, of our adoration. Because, Lord, you are just simply amazing. Lord, we confess that we do not fully grasp the power of your might. We do not fully grasp the love that you have for us. But we know that we are loved by you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll just simply show up, that you open up our hearts, open up our ears so that we can hear and we can comprehend your truth. We ask that you'll break through the walls of our heart so that we can hear your words and we can allow your words to bring transformation to us. God, we long for encounter with you, and we just ask that you'll meet us, Lord, with us this morning. God, I pray for myself. May I not simply be a speaker of your word, because, Lord, that is just simply so easy to do. But let me be a doer of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before I had kids, I used to like watching movies. And obviously, before the days of having children, the movies that were out weren't the superhero movies, nor were they those romantic comedy movies. They were often action movies that were out around that time. Kind of date myself, one of my favorite movies is The Gladiator, and starring Russell Crowe. I mean, that's before Russell Crowe had the dad bod. You know, he was quite jacked, and he was quite muscular. And so he was quite handsome and quite famous as well. And so the movie of The Gladiator started like this. And, you know, every time you see a promotion on it, a slave, a general that became a slave. And then a slave that defied an emperor. And then, dun-dun, Gladiator. I remember the movie so well because I loved it so much. I saw it many, many times. And I remember that in the beginning of the movie, there's a scene Russell Crowe is playing General Maximus. There's a scene in the movie, and here he is. He's about to, at the final end of this 13-year campaign that he's been on. So he has been fighting as a general, leading his legions of armies for the last 13 years. And this is the final stop, Germania. And this is the final tribe that he has to conquer in order for him to be able to go home and finally be released from his duties. And I remember the scene very well because it's towards the end. I mean, it's in the beginning, and they're already shooting catapults, and now Maximus went to lead his cavalry because he's leading the cavalry charge, and he tells his men, he says, "Men, in a week by now, I will be home harvesting my crops and being with my children." And he says, "But don't worry, keep on following me, keep on marching straight." And he says, "Don't worry, if you see the sun facing you, it means you're already dead, so don't worry. But guess what? What we do in this world will echo into eternity." That phrase alone was so powerful, and I think that phrase alone was worth its weight in gold. What we do in this life will echo in eternity. Such powerful words that I think when we look at the life of Jesus, we can say that there is no one in history whose life has echoed throughout eternity louder and bigger and greater than Jesus. Because even to this day, people are still talking about Jesus. After 2,000 years after his death and 2,000 years afterwards, people are constantly talking about Jesus. Why are people constantly talking about Jesus? Because the way that he lived his life, the way that he was in this world, left an echo that was longer and louder than any other person has ever left in this world before. And why was Jesus able to do this? Now, I know that in our day and age, people look at Jesus and they have different thoughts. They have different views. But nevertheless, throughout all the ages till now, people still talk about Jesus. And Jesus has such a lasting impact and legacy. And he says that if we are to his followers, we are supposed to do what he did, but even greater. It's scary when Jesus said to his disciples, "You will do even greater things than I." That's scary. How can we do greater things than Jesus? I mean, Jesus walked on water, by the way, right? Jesus cast out demons. Jesus healed the sick. And yet he still told his disciples, "You will do greater things than I." And the reason why is Because when Jesus performed all these miracles, most of us think that, well, he did all these miracles because he was God. Yes, he was God, but if we read Philippians, he tells us that he emptied himself out of his, quote-unquote, divinity. You know, I put in layman's term. He decided I wasn't going to use my divinity. That's what he decided to do, right? So how did he actually do all those miracles? Through the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus' ministry didn't begin until he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came in a dove and rested upon him. And then Jesus said to his disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power and you'll be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. And he says, you will do greater things than I. And so if that is the case, then you and I are called to do greater things, because we look at the life of the apostles. They did some amazing things. And we look at them and say, well, that's for them. But in reality, we are supposed to echo as well. Our life is supposed to echo into eternity as well. And we're supposed to do greater things than Jesus. And what would that look like? So how does our life echo Jesus' life? How can we live a life that will leave ripples throughout eternity? I believe that Jesus gives us a very clear answer. Please take a look at John chapter 17, verse 13 through 19. Right, it reads, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, and anyone more than I am of the world. My prayer is that you take them out of the world. Is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. And as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and that they too may be very sanctified. This passage is part of the prayer that Jesus had for his disciples. And as he's praying this prayer for them, notice what he says. He says, my prayer is not that you take them out of this world. Now, for most of us as Christians, we look and believe that there is other options. Right, there's always a middle ground, because as Christians, we always think there's a middle ground. There's God's way, and then there's the world's way, and then we Christians say, well, you know, there's a middle ground. Because in reality, there's actually two worlds right now that's happening. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of God is coming, and it's on his way. Jesus has already began the act, and he will return and to ushering his kingdom. But we live in this tension of which there's this world that we're supposed to avoid. And Jesus says, no, we're not supposed to live out of the world. And so therefore, we as Christians, we create this Christian world. The world here and God's kingdom and the Christian world. I know you probably don't believe me, but we do. Right? There is such a thing as Christian culture. You know that, right? Have you ever heard of Christian music? I'm not speaking about praise and worship songs. I'm talking about Christian artists with a sprinkle of spirituality and call themselves Christian worship, like Christian music. Have you heard of Christian rap? Have you ever heard of Christian heavy metal? Have you heard of Christian ska music? I know none of you know what ska music is. Have you heard of that? There is. And so we create a Christian culture to kind of insulate and isolate ourselves from the world. And not only do we have a Christian culture, but we have Christian merchandises, right? We see Christian t-shirts. Back in the days, they used to have the WWJD bracelets. We have, you know, back in the days when people had real Bibles, not the electronic one, they used to have Bible covers. Yeah, some of you older ones know what I'm talking about. And then they had the WWJZ on it or whatever Bible verse on it. And then we have Christian language. I don't know if you guys know Christian language. You guys know Christian language? Let me speak some Christian language for you, and I'll translate for you, okay, for those of you who don't know. If you've been in church enough, there's Christian language. There are words as in, have you been born again? Right? There's other words, have you been washed in the blood? Scary, I know. Right? Or the other one, have you been pushing? And if you don't know what pushing means, is have you prayed until something happened? Right? That's the acronym. Or the other one is, praise the Lord, everything is good. These are all Christian languages and words that we use. And yet, what they really are is we establish a Christian culture. And when we establish a Christian culture, what we're doing is we're avoiding the world. We begin to insulate and isolate ourselves. You know, one of the scariest things about having a church building is this. A church building is probably one of the greatest weapons or the greatest things that we use to isolate ourselves from the world. The church building often is like a fortress. The church building can often be equated as a country club for members only. That if you're not a member, and what I mean by a member is if you're not one of those holy rollers, then you're not welcome. Christians tend to, you know, the church tend to be unseen in the community. A lot of churches, the only day that the church building is open is on a Sunday, and the doors are always closed and locked on every other day. A lot of churches, the church building is a place where Christians come and to socialize and to have fellowship with other Christians. And by doing that, what we're doing is we're creating this isolation and this insulation that takes place. Why do we do that? It's to protect ourselves from the outside, because we look at the outside and we say, that's bad. And so we don't want anything to do with that. And so we just simply want to relate with ourselves, have people, you know, that speak the same language as we do, have people who have the same common interests as we do. Don't get me wrong. That's great. That's amazing. I mean, we all want to know people that have the same values as we do. We want to have community with people who think like-minded as we do. That's great. But Jesus didn't say, God, please protect them from the world. Let's build a church so we can protect the Christians from the world. No, Jesus says, do not take them out of this world. And if that is the case, then it means that we have a certain responsibility in the context of how we live our life in this world. Jesus says in verse 18, as you have sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. You know, the Message translation says, as you have given me a mission, I now give them the mission. And this is how you and I will begin to be able to echo Jesus. Is if we understand that we are sent people by God. That Jesus' mission here on earth is also our mission on earth. That his mission became our mandate. That we are to go into the world and not be the world, but to be the light of the world. And how can you and I actually go into the world? What are some of the hindrances that hinders us? Very simple. I think the reason why many of us are hindered from not going is because we really don't understand who Jesus is. We don't understand that he's the king. Most of us believe in a gospel where there's only salvation only. But we don't believe in a gospel in which Jesus is also king as well. Because you can't have Jesus as your savior without him being the king. It is the fact that he is the king. Therefore, the benefit of him being the king is salvation. Unless we begin to realize that truth, then you and I will always be living in the shelter isolated framework that we need to hide from the world. And subconsciously, we as a church, we do that. We don't realize that. We go to church, we speak our church language, and when somebody who may not be like us, sometimes it's very easy for us to kind of shy away from them. Or even when we have all these church programs, we invite people to come, hoping that they will come. But did you know that inviting people to come to church isn't being on missions with God? Because, I'm sorry to say, but that's just passing the buck to the pastor. Just saying. I'm the pastor, I invited my friends to the church. They're at church now. You take care of them. No. In order for us to be sent people of God, we have to understand how Jesus did his mission. Jesus was incarnational, and let me just explain that word. Incarnational simply means that he was with people. That if you and I want to have Jesus' mission to be our mission, and if we want to live a life that actually echoes into eternity, we have to realize that we need to be people who are incarnational. That basically means that we need to be with people. If I were to ask you a question, do you know your neighbors? Do you know your neighbors? What are their names? Do you know the neighbor that lives across you, if some of you have across you? Do you know the neighbor who lives behind you? Do you know the neighbor to your right? Do you know your neighbor to your left? How many conversations have you had with them? When we lived out in Long Island, one of the things that I made a habit to do was to walk around my neighborhood with my kids. One, to give them exercise. The other part, too, is just to get to know people. And as strangely as it happens, every time I walk my kids, I meet somebody. And they always ask, oh, which house do you live by? I said, I'm down there. Then I get to know my neighbors. I know across the street's name. I know their name. I know. Eventually, as I begin to talk to them, as I lived among them, we begin to have inroads and relationship begins to build. Do we know our neighbors? Most of us work. Some of us work. Some of us go to school. Some of us are happily retired. That doesn't mean we don't have a mission. We do have a mission field, and that is whatever social network that you are in, that is your field. That is where God has sent you, and only you can be. Some of us work a job, and guess what? My question to you is, you know your coworkers. Have you ever had lunch with them? I don't mean you need to go out and have lunch with them, but simple thing as eating lunch together. Sometimes you pack lunch, eating lunch together. Having conversation with them about life. Because, I don't want to be harsh, but you know me. I'm just going to lay it out like it is. If we're not, then what we're really living is a very insulated and isolated life. Because if we're sent into the world, we're sent to be incarnational, to be in the world. We're not like the world. The world is not supposed to influence us. We're supposed to influence the world. That's the big difference. Is that we're not supposed to be influenced by the world. We live in the world, and we know that this world is not our home. Guess what? We're just passing by. We are longing for the kingdom of God to come. And until that day, we're in this world, and we are his witness. Because we are sent into the world, to live in the world, and to make a difference. And the only way we're going to make a difference isn't by sharing the four spiritual laws with people. I know some of us have been trained in that way. Or to share evangelism explosion. It isn't to share a packaged gospel message. We're sent into the world to live for Christ. To allow the light of Christ that is in us to radiate and to shine brightly for people to see. And guess what? People won't see your light shining if they don't know you. People often ask me, Pastor, how do I talk to people about the gospel? I said, very simple. Talk about your life. Talk about your life. When they talk about their life, you talk about their life. It's a spiritual conversation right there. We're sent into the world to be incarnational, to dwell among them. Because Jesus dwelt among us when he walked on this earth. And we need to dwell among people as well. Some of us, when we became Christians, we actually lost a lot of non-Christian friends, right? We no longer associate with them. We don't talk to them anymore. They're gone. They're not a part of our life. And all the friends that we have are Christians. And the longer you became a Christian, guess what? Most of your social network is just Christians. And if that's the case, I just want to let you know that's because you've forgotten this key truth is that we're sent into the world. And that we're not supposed to insulate and isolate ourselves in church. That Jesus has a mission. And that mission is our mission. His mission became our mandate. and that we are sent in this world. And not only are we sent into this world, but we're to live in this world, to be a shining light, to be people of influence, to invite people into our life. Because quite honestly, it's very easy to invite people to church. Right? You say, hey, my church got something going on. You want to come? Right? It's very easy to ask people that. It's not that hard. Anybody can do it. But you always, most of the time, get a no, right? You want to know why you get a no? Because they don't really know you. They really don't know you. They really don't know what is this Jesus that you're talking about in your life. They haven't witnessed it because you're not in their proximity. They haven't witnessed the light of Christ in your life because they are not within your proximity. When they are in your proximity, that basically means that there is a life relationship that happens. And that is when they will begin to see. And so it's very easy for us to have programs. So let me tell you, being a church pastor, I can tell you that it's very easy to have programs. And it's very easy for people to get involved in programs. You know why? Because it's a one-time commitment. But that doesn't leave an echo that will echo throughout eternity. What does is understanding that Jesus' mission is our mandate. And this mandate isn't about inviting people to church. It's about inviting people into our life. Because our life, we have the Spirit of God living in us. We have Christ with us. We have God working in our life through our life. And when we invite people into our life, they see the magnificent power of Jesus in our life. But they will never know that if we're never going to step out and invite people into our life. In order for us to share the gospel, that is the primary action that you and I need to do. God will take care of the rest of what to say, what to do. But it starts with us. It starts with us willing to engage people by opening up our life and inviting them into our life. And that is how you and I be on missions for God. That is how it's going to leave a lasting impact. I became a Christian like everybody else. I knucklehead, teenager. And when I became a Christian, I had to, really get away from my friends because they were up to no good. And I know if I was with them, I'll be up to no good. But somehow, as I became a Christian, I realized that all of my friends, all of a sudden now, were Christians. And I didn't know any Christians. And then later on, when I became a pastor, you got to be a pastor, you got to be in the church, most of the time, all you relate to is with Christians because you got to pastor them, you got to lead the church, you got to take care of them. And so all of the people you interact with are Christians. And for a while, I thought, okay, I'm doing God's work. This is amazing. This is great. And then something struck me. I realized I had no non-Christian friends. Not only did I have no non-Christian friends, I really didn't even have any contact with any non-Christians. It didn't hit me until I became a church planter. Because as a church planter, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go meet people, right? And so here I am, I'm trying to plant a church, and I go through my list, and I go, oh my goodness, I really don't have much non-Christian friends. What am I going to do? And so every day, I walked in my neighborhood and I prayed. I pray for each house and I pray that God will lead me to conversations with people. I pray that God will lead me to a person of peace. And by the way, a person of peace is people who have somehow ability of a large network and they could bring you into that network and just meet more people. And so I was praying this and as I was a church planter, all of a sudden when COVID came, I had nothing to do. So I started growing figs. Why did I grow figs? Because I always wanted to grow figs. And so I started growing figs, and my wife knows me, is that when I really want to do something, I'm not just going to do it a little bit. I got to go all out. Yes, that's me. And not only did I go all out, you know, I want to master it when I really want to know something. And so I started learning about figs, mastering it, and then all of a sudden I started getting connected with, you know, other fig growers. And I realized, you know, God, this is how I'm going to meet people. Because I've been praying about this, Lord. All my friends are Christians, and this is my way to getting to know people. And so here I was growing figs, and slowly, you know, at that time, you know, they have different Facebook growing groups. There wasn't a group for Long Island. And all of a sudden, there was a few people who said, hey, why don't we start a fig growing network for Long Islanders on Facebook? I said, yes, you want to join? I said, yeah, sure. And so there were like originally 13 founding members of that group. That group right now is about 4,000 growing strong. And I'm Long Island famous when it comes to growing figs. Everybody knows me in the group. And here it is. Once that began to happen, I realized I need to meet people. So I started growing figs and I started meeting people. And as I began to meet people, I began to develop relationships with people. And as I began to develop a relationship with people, things were beginning to happen. I remember I was going to pick up a fig tree from a friend. And he's not a Christian. And I went to his house. I went to pick up, you know, a fig tree. We're chit-chatting about figs. And he asked me, so what do you do for a living? As a pastor, I hate that question. Because every time when people ask me what I do for a living, if I say I'm a pastor, they always give me this look. Or they start all of a sudden straightening up, behaving themselves a little bit better. So I didn't want to have that awkward feeling. So I said, I'm a church planter. And he said, so what's a church planter? Yeah, you know, I start churches. And he looked at me and was like, so kind of like a pastor. I said, yeah, kind of like a pastor. And then he says, you know, I have a friend in Toronto, and he's a Christian. And he's been telling me that I need to become a Christian. And then he asked me, so what do you think? I said, you know, yeah, being a Christian is not bad. You might want to consider being a Christian. And then he said, oh, okay. He said, my friend also said I need to pray. So what does prayer mean? I don't know what prayer, what do I do? I said, well, you know, prayer is pretty simple. There's nothing hard about it. You just start talking to God like you're talking to somebody. He's like, oh, okay. And I just said, you know, add in Jesus' name afterwards. And I said, okay. And he says, so, can you pray for me? I said, yeah, sure. He said, I want to believe in Jesus. I said, okay, sure. And so here I was, and then I prayed for him. And I said, why don't you pray and, you know, tell God that you're a sinner and, you know, accept him in his life. When I walked away from it, I said, that was probably one of the most easiest time I've ever shared the gospel in my life. I didn't even want to, and it just happened. Because God is at work in the world. And God is already doing something in the world. But we need to be there. And the only way that we're going to be there is if we're present in people's life. I have other friends who are fig growers as well. I have a friend who's Jewish. And at that time, his mother passed away. And, you know, he's like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, Ron, do you know any churches that, you know, have grief, you know, you know, grief groups that, you know, that I can go to? I don't know what to do. I said, hey, you know, you need to talk to somebody? You know, we could talk. And he said, okay, yeah, let's set up a time to talk. We started talking. And as we were talking, he started sharing about his struggle and all the things that were there about the passing of his mom. And I'm just listening, and I just remind him. And I said, you know, you're Jewish, right? He's like, yeah. I said, you know, you believe in God, right? He said, well, you know, God and I are just kind of a little far right now. Well, I said, you know, as a pastor, I can tell you that, you know, God is good. You may want to turn back to him. I said, obviously, you know, you're still waiting for the Messiah. I just want to tell you the Messiah is here now. His name is Jesus. But, you know, you're still waiting for the Messiah, but you still believe in God. And then he asked me to pray for him. So I prayed for him. Now, I didn't accept Christ there, but I know I brought him one step closer. These conversations happened not because I was smart, Not because I was intelligent, not because I knew what to say. It's just that I was present. Because God is at work in the world. Because the Spirit of God is at work in the world. And God's saying to go. That He is sending us. His mission has become our mandate, and we need to go. And we go by welcoming people into our life. You don't need to go through a third world country. You don't need to go through some crazy event. You just need to open up your life. And let the Spirit lead you in those conversations. Let God put you in the right places. The more people we know, the more we begin to be into the intersection of what God is doing in this world. What we can say in the church and be insulated and isolated. But that's not the mandate that God has for us as individual Christians. That's not a mandate that God has for the church of God as well. We're not supposed to have our doors closed. We're not supposed to use our church building only once a week. We need to be a physical presence in this community. We need to be the shining light of this community. And this, to be a shining light of this community, it doesn't mean that we need to buy big bright lights and have a big giant sign. It means that each and every single one of us need to radiate the light of Christ by simply putting ourselves into the crossroad of life and by inviting people into our life. That is how you and I be our missions for God. That is how you and I will begin to make an impact for God's kingdom. Because you see, sharing the gospel isn't that hard. It's not. If you think about it, it's not that hard. Talk to people like you talk to friends. It's not that hard. What's hard is because it's us. It's hard because we're the ones in the way. Whether because we want to be insulated and isolated, because we want to have our own little Christian community, and we want to have things our way. But it's not that hard. It's not that hard to invite people into your life. It's not that hard to welcome people into your life. It's not that hard to have a conversation with people about your life. Because as a Christian, I know that God is working in my life. And as God is working in my life, I see all the wonderful things that God is doing in my life. And when I share that with people, I don't have to make it all spiritual and use spiritual lingo. I could just say, hey, listen, I was going through a hard time. But you know what really helped pull me through was I prayed. Right? And I know you probably don't believe in prayer. That's okay. But I prayed. And somehow I was able to find peace. And guess what? After I prayed, and guess what? I just couldn't believe it. It just happened. When we share those things with people, we're pointing the finger back to God. Right? And most of us are trying to train ourselves to how to answer difficult questions, how to, you know, be good apologetics and answer those difficult questions people have. Guys, let me tell you what. You never win people to Christ through answering their questions. But you lead people to Christ by opening up your life. And when we open up your life to them, guess what? There are countless opportunities. It's not a one time, would you like to come to church? And they say no. And they say, well, yeah, I'm never going to invite them again. Because they're going to constantly say no. But if you welcome them into your life, let them see how you live. Let them see how you respond to difficulties. Let them see how you face challenges. Because people have eyes. They know that you're different. But they'll never know that you're different unless we welcome them into our life. I don't know about you, but honestly, you know, as I moved here to San Jose, I've been wondering why I've been feeling so homesick. I think about it, ministry, but I miss my family, but I can talk to my family. I miss my friends, but I can talk to my friends. And I asked myself, what did I miss so much about New York? And I realize the reason why I feel a little homesick is because I don't have any non-Christian friends. I don't have that time or the opportunity yet to meet people who just don't know Jesus. Because I know that whenever somehow I'm with them, I feel so real. I feel so real. And what I mean by so real, I feel that they are very open and honest with me. And that I can be very open and honest with them. That I don't always have to wear these thousand hats I have to wear as I'm in ministry. And I realize I miss that so much. I miss that opportunity in which I can witness for Christ by how I live. That I can see what God is doing. That I can be in the intersection of what God is doing in this world and be a part of that. And I realize that is what I miss so much. And that is what I hope to be able to establish in my life here in California. Because I want to be in the intersection of what God is doing. I want to open up my life to people that don't know Christ. And to be honest, this is how we're going to leave a spiritual legacy. This is how we're going to be remembered. Not that we were in every event in church. We're going to be remembered throughout eternity because Jesus is going to ask us that question. When I sent you, why didn't you go? I don't know about you, but I don't know what to say to Jesus if he asked me that question. I would like to say, Lord, I was in the intersection of what you're doing. And I saw what you're doing, and I was so happy, Lord, that I was a part of it. That's what I want to be able to say, Jesus. And I hope that is what you long for as well. Because in order for us to see the kingdom of God break through, it starts with us. Individually. Not the person next to us, but individually. It starts with us. Just by opening our life to other people and let God work through there. Because God is at work in the world, reconciling the world to himself. We just need to say yes. I'm going to invite you to simply respond to the worship, the message this morning by singing a song. Song of praise to the Lord. Can we change the song to Worthy of It All? Yes, I know the sound tech just loves me. I'd go all over the place. This is a good time for us to begin to meditate. Reflect on the words that was just spoken. I need to simply ask the question, is my life open or is my life closed? Have I been living in isolation? Or have I been walking into the crossroad of life? Amazing thing is that if we've been living in isolation, it's never too late. It's never too late for us to open up our life to other people. It's never too late for our life to shine for the glory of Jesus. It's never too late.
Saints and angels, they bow before your throne, and all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing. Sing that verse again. And all the saints and angels, they bow before your throne. And all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, "You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you all things, and to you all things, you deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you all things, and to you all things, you deserve the glory.
God indeed is worthy of all of our worship. And we need to say yes to the Lord. We need to say yes to the Lord and open up our life to others. We need to say yes to this mandate that He has given to us. That as God the Father has sent the Son now has sent us into the world. Not to be like the world, but to be light of the world, so that people can see the glory of God.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you all things, and to you all things, you deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. Worthy of it all. For from you all things, and to you all things, you deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you all things, and to you all things, you deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you all things, you worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you all things, and to you all things, you deserve the glory. All the other angels, they bow before your throne. All the elders cast the crowns before the Lamb of God and sing. And all the saints and angels, they bow before your throne. And all the elders cast the crowns before the Lamb of God and sing.
Yes, Lord, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of all of our praise, worthy of all of our adoration, worthy of all of our devotion, worthy of all of our sacrifices. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord turn his face upon you and be gracious to you. And as you see him face to face, may you hear his voice telling you this week that he is giving you a mandate. And that mandate is to complete his mission. That he is asking you to invite people into your life this week. That he is asking you to say yes to what he is doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe dismiss. Thank you for coming.